We'll proceed with the next case of the morning, which is Bayko versus Gonzalez.
Good morning again, Your Honors. May it please the court, counsel. You know, this issue, the case comes before you with regard to one issue, whether or not the harm that Mr. Bayko suffered amounted to persecution. That's the heart of the claim in this case. And our position is that he clearly meets that requirement for persecution. What we have in this case is an individual who's the heart of the case is a detention where he was detained for 13 days in an Albanian jail under no charges whatsoever. He was never allowed to see his family, never allowed to see a lawyer, never brought before any judicial proceedings whatsoever. He was basically housed like an animal in that case in a small cell, fed very little food or water in this case, and allowed to go to the bathroom only one time a day. This individual lost 11 kilograms in that 13 days that he was in custody. Our position is that clearly amounts to persecution in this case. Now, generally, this court has held short detentions with nothing more is not persecution. But in this case, we don't have a short detention, and we have more than just a detention in this case. We have an individual who loses 11 kilograms in that 13 days. It's an extraordinary amount of weight, and the way he describes his cell, how small it is, and the conditions that he had to live in for those 13 days. We also must remember the context in which this occurs. And this is where I think the immigration judge errs in this case. She puts the petitioner in a vacuum. This is what happened to this person, but she takes it out of the context of what's going on in Albania and what's going on with other Democratic Party members during this time. This court has repeatedly held, and it was a case that's recently, Tsatsai versus Gonzalez, which was decided in March of 2006, where the court said persecution of Democratic Party activists during this period has been found in a number of cases. It's clear, and this court, I believe,
which case are you citing from?
Tsatsai, C-E-C-A-J versus Gonzalez.
That's not cited in your brief, I presume.
It was cited by the government
news to this court. Then. Okay.
You know, but it occurred. The decision came after we filed our brief, but it was basically March of 2006 when this decision came. And there's a whole lineage of Democratic Party cases where this court has found persecution of this particular group. Now what we're saying is, considering what he went through, considering the fact that he was arrested and held in custody for 13 days and deprived of food and nourishment during this time, and in light of what's happening in Albania in general, in light of what's happened to the Democratic Party members in general, we have a clear finding of persecution in this case, and it should have been granted with regard to Mr. Bayko's claim.
Did Mr. Bayko present any evidence other than his own testimony that Demi remains a threat to this day?
You know, he did not present any outside evidence other than his testimony, but the immigration judge found Mr. Bayko credible in this case. There's nothing to say that he wasn't credible. You know, and it would be almost impossible to find such I don't know how you would find such evidence. It's basically he's a hired thug, a hired gun in this case, that goes around and intimidates the opposition members. How he would find a written document reflecting that is something I don't know.
What evidence of prejudice was presented to the BIA?
As far as the issue of, I'm not following the question.
Well, you said in your brief that it was clear that he was prejudiced by the immigration judge's failure to admonish him.
Yeah, that goes to the issue of, and we discussed that earlier today.
But this is this case,
correct.
And you want it in this record.
Correct. With regard to this case, Mr. Bayko had the right, or had the judge had the right or the obligation to inform him of his right to withdraw his admission for application. That is akin to voluntary departure. It's recognized, it's codified in the statute, that a person who is in removal proceedings, if they're apprehended at an airport or whatnot, has the right to withdraw his application for admission and leave the country on his own will without facing a deportation in this case. The court and this judge did not tell him of that right, did not exercise that right in this case. And the prejudice in that case is now Mr. Bayko has a deportation order against him. And that deportation order has tremendous consequences if he was ever able to adjust upon a family based on a family member, or if he was able to get some other means of coming back to the country legally. That's all gone at this point.
Now, is there any indication in the record that Mr. Bayko was not actually aware through his attorney of his right to withdraw his application for admission?
There's no indication anywhere in the record that even the immigration judge herself was cognizant of that ability. This case, when you arrive at an airport and you're apprehended at an airport, your case is treated as what's called an asylum-only case, where you're just addressing the issue of asylum. The issue of voluntary departure doesn't come into play, but the issue of withdrawing of your application is recognized in the code. But the immigration judge never considered it. It wasn't clear if he was aware of it or whether or not he was not aware of it. But what we're saying is that this judge has an obligation, not this judge, all the judges have an obligation where a person has a certain right or privilege to advise him of that right and privilege, and he can make an informed decision if he chooses to take it or not take it. This case is not like the federal case, or not even like the case that was argued this morning, where this issue was brought before the BIA. And it was addressed before the BIA, and the BIA flatly ignored it. They never even addressed it in their opinion, in their response to the appeal on this case. They make no reference to it. They don't say that, no, we ignore it or whatever. They just completely ignore it. And that is clear error. The BIA should have corrected this error. The immigration judge should have caught this error. And that's where his prejudice lies, is now he has a deportation order. He is barred from any other form of relief down the road if one were available to him. He's not. He cannot come back to the United States if he ever left the United States. So there is clear prejudice in this case, Your Honor. But turning back to the issue of the persecution in this case, is that there's country condition reports that the immigration judge cited and that contained in the record, which clearly demonstrate a pattern of conduct by the Albanian police against the Democratic Party. It describes torture in the prisons, how there's abuse of detainees.
Now, didn't we just hear in the last case that the country reports say the opposite?
You know, what the judges go off of is one line in the report, and that line says where things are better. But if you read the rest of the report, it's a lengthy report. If you read the entire report, you'll get a clear picture of what's going on in Albania. And that's why I went to great lengths to cite most of this report in our brief, so you understand what's going on. The one line that says things are improving or things are somewhat better is this not a correct assessment of the situation. This report goes on, and I can cite page 18 of my brief. The police beat and otherwise abuse suspects and prisoners. The Democratic Party often legitimately complained about incidents of police harassment of its members and of dismissal of some of its members from official positions in political parties. I mean, there's abuse amongst juvenile detainees where they're beating children in custody. There's abuse of there's one incident in this case where Luan Rama, who was the equivalent of Alberto Gonzalez in Albania, he's the Minister of Justice in Albania, literally went out on the street, beat up a journalist himself, beat a journalist up at a restaurant because he didn't like what the journalist said. This is Alberto Gonzalez going to the Wall Street Journal or New York Times, finding a journalist there and beating him up on the street. How would that look? What image does that send to the world and send to the rest of the Albanian populace? It sends the image that we're in charge.
But wasn't he fired or...
You know, he resigned, Your Honor, but yeah. But it's still the situation. He should be in prison for something. If that were to occur, if someone were to beat someone in the middle of a street, they would be in prison in this case. But what it is it shows the level of persecution, the level of threat that the Democratic Party members had during this time frame. And our position.
Well, it shows why people in three quarters of the country of the world want to come here rather than stay there.
You know, there's no
question things are worse in lots of countries, but nevertheless, that doesn't mean the whole population can come on over here. We have, at least most countries, we have rules that they have to go back, and so that's the problem. It's a relative situation, and that person has to be singled out as somebody different than the rest of the population.
Yeah, I agree with you. People want to come to this country, and who would not want to come to this country? But what we have in this case is someone who the judge found credible and who was in prison for apparently no reason whatsoever, and other than his membership in the Democratic Party. Now, in that case, we give a special exception to that person. If life is tough for an Albanian living in a village somewhere, we don't give that exception. But what we give an exception to is if you've been abused and persecuted in your home country. Been singled out in your home country, then you are entitled to asylum in this case. And the position that we have is he clearly meets that standard. I don't think there's a too beat up rule or, you know, teeth knocked out rule. I think what it is you have to take the context of everything that transpired and say, does this person If I was in this person's situation, would I want to live in that situation, or could I live in that situation? And I think everyone across this room would say, no, I wouldn't tolerate that, and nor should Mr. Baker be forced to be returned to that situation in this case. Thank you for your time.
Hey, thanks. Shakeshaft?
Correct, Your Honor. Good morning. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Tom Shakeshaft. I'm an assistant U.S. attorney here in Chicago on behalf of the Attorney General. This case is not like many of the cases in the immigration context that have come before this court previously, where the court has been critical of the job that an immigration judge did in evaluating the record. As Your Honor noted in the first argument, there was a very thoughtful 33-page opinion in this case that came to the conclusion, correctly, that the petitioner, in this case, that what the petitioner experienced did not rise to the level of persecution.
But let's talk about this. The IJ appeared to consider only the detention in discussing past persecution and discussing the threat by Demi only in the context of the well-founded fear of future persecution. And what, I mean, wasn't that improper? In other words, shouldn't the threat by Demi have been considered in determining whether Mr. Beshko established past persecution? And shouldn't Beshko then have been entitled to a presumption of a well-founded fear of future persecution?
I read the IJ's opinion differently than that, Your Honor. I think it was considered in the past persecution context. In fact, it's listed. I don't have the page number, but it is listed as one of the four particular instances that the petitioner raised of the misconduct that he claims to have endured and that was found credible. That he was visited by a police, that he had his car stolen and gunshots were fired in his backyard, that he was visited by a policeman and was fined $20 as the first two. But the IJ does focus on the length of the detention and the threat by this Demi individual that the IJ did focus on and said did those four occurrences did not rise to what this court and other courts have held to be past persecution. So I do think the IJ did consider it in both contexts. This threat this from Demi, and in fact it is the petitioner testified that was sort of the final straw that got him to leave Albania was this threat by Demi. And the IJ held that threat alone does not rise to the level of past persecution. And I, as this court recently said, it is the IJ's obligation to evaluate the totality of the experience, the entire sequence of experiences that the petitioner underwent as a consequence of his political activity. And that's what the IJ did here. She identified, and in fact he has not indicated that there was a failure to consider that. It's a simple disagreement with the IJ that rises to the level of persecution. The petitioner obviously says that it does. I think that a review of the cases where this court has found past persecution indicates much other people undergoing considerably worse treatment in Albania. A number of the cases, in fact, the recent Sekaj case, where this court overturned an IJ, an immigration judge's decision based on many physical beatings, kidnappings, shootings, a lot of things that the petitioner in this case testified he did not undergo. Those are experiences he did not have. Really,
surely it isn't your view that you have to be kidnapped, beaten, tortured, and shot before.
Of course not, Your Honor. And then I did not mean to imply that those were requirements by any stretch of the imagination. But their absence in this case is notable. There are the things that happened to this individual, well, no doubt unpleasant, and in fact the immigration judge indicated were unpleasant, simply do not rise to the level of persecution that this court and other courts have found in other cases. If I may for a moment address also Your Honor's concern about the advisement of rights that had came up in the earlier case. And in this case, it's really, it's a bootstrapping argument that somehow or another, as I understand the argument, that the petitioner should have been given, been advised that at some point he could withdraw his application. And it's a regulatory apparatus where you can be advised if you arrive at the airport that you have a right to leave. It is not a right, and as I understand it, he is now, the petitioner is claiming that it was prejudicial and an error not to just give him the opportunity to turn around and go home. It is entirely inconsistent with his argument that he's entitled to asylum, and in fact, with all due respect to counsel, he indicated that he didn't know if the immigration judge was aware of that right. Counsel represented the petitioner in the immigration proceedings, and so the petitioner had every right at any point to withdraw his petition for asylum and at his own expense,
look, to home. Look, Mr. Shakeshaft, look, it appears certainly that the regulations require, when the word shall is used, you know, we learned that first year law school, when the, you know, shall requires the IJ to inform the petitioners of that right. And I'm sort of at a loss to understand why it's not being done by, you know, an IJ who writes these very fine 33-page opinions.
And I don't have an answer for
you.
But I certainly do have an answer whether it was prejudicial in this case, and the answer to that is clearly not. To the extent that there was error by not, and I don't concede that there was, but if there were, it certainly was harmless. It is the harm that the petitioner is alleging is simply he was not given the right, was not advised of the right that he could withdraw his application and return to Albania. He clearly could have done that at any point. Counsel could have advised him of that right, as he now argues.
I think you missed my point. Shall. Requirement by the IJ. Shall. It's not just something that we throw up into the air and say his lawyer could have told him, this one could have done that, that one could have done that.
And I understand your point.
This is, yeah, it's the IJ's responsibility.
In sum, in this case, the petitioner simply did not present evidence that he was a victim of past persecution. The events that occasioned him, while unfortunate, were simply, it's a 13-day detention. And similarly, the argument that he could have been, should have been given, must have been given, his advice that he could withdraw his application, if error at all, was harmless. And we would ask that the Board of Immigration Appeals' decision be affirmed and his petition dismissed.
Thank you.
I think his time expired. If you've got something, I'll give you 30 seconds.
This is not a mere case of just he just spent 13 days in jail. This is 13 days in jail and for no reason losing 11 kilograms. It's not a home going to jail kind of situation. He's deserving of asylum in this case. I thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Case we've taken under advisement.